Eating and drinking seem to have become a national pastime while we're all quarantined. In episode 69 of the I Can't See You podcast, I'll tell you about how I've gained some weight over the last couple of years after a surgery and some medication changes, and how I'm actually losing weight now.
From Studio C, welcome to the I Can't See You podcast with David. He can't see, but he's got a lot to say and a face for radio.
Hello there, and welcome to the I Can't See You podcast. My name is David, at David Benj on all the socials. So give me a quick look over on Twitter and Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. And remember that you can listen to the podcast via YouTube. And you'll notice that I uploaded a very nice new graphic that is 16 by 9, so it looks a lot better than the normal graphic that you would see if you pulled it up on your phone. And give a look there. Maybe one day we'll add video. I don't know that that would be good. I don't know that you want to look at me for that long. And I think you're better just listening. I hope you're doing well. I hope you're washing your hands. I hope you're keeping your social distance. And I know it's been a little bit stressful. And I know more than one person has talked about how they've been eating more than they usually do because it's more accessible, because sometimes when they go to work, when they're sitting at their desk, they don't necessarily have a lot of things to eat. And that's what I was going to talk about today. Not necessarily eating during the pandemic, but I've had some issues, and I'll get into it in a couple of minutes. I've had some issues in the past where, because I always work at home, so everything is always just a few steps away, where I was very fat. And I know some people find it hard to believe how much weight I lost. And then I was thin, and then I started to get a little heavier again, and I'll talk about that in a couple of minutes, and what I've done to try to get back to how things were when I did lose the weight, and I'll talk about that in a few minutes. But I did also want to remind you, besides being available on YouTube, the podcast episodes are available via your Google and Alexa, Amazon devices. So with Amazon, you just say, "Alexa, play I Can't See You," or on Google, you would use the beginning phrases, and I'm not going to say it because it's just a couple of feet from my mouth. Talk to I Can't See You is the phrase you use when you speak to your Google device. And you can pull up the episodes and go back to previous episodes if you want. So while you're in the kitchen making dinner, you can listen to me. That might make you not want to be in the kitchen, and maybe you'll eat less. And again, that's what I wanted to talk about today, because one of the things that I've noticed over the last couple of years, and I think it started back, I had an eye surgery at the end of 2017 that, was probably my toughest one. And I know I've talked about it before, and it was my detached retina surgery. And It was a little stressful. In fact, it was more stressful than things are now with Corona, because I found out a couple of days before I was supposed to go to London. Liz Jacob and I were going to London to get Jane from, she was doing her semester abroad and she studied in London. And we took it as an opportunity to go for about a week. I don't think it was quite a week, but Jacob has a friend in England, so he was going to hop on the train and go to the Northeast and see his friend. And Liz and I and Jane were going to do some things in London. And Liz and I had been in London when we dropped Jane off at school, but that was, I think we were on the ground for only about 66 hours when we took her to school. And I actually have a blog post. If you take a look at icantcu.com, icantcu.com, I did a blog post about it, and it was, we packed a lot of things in that 66 hours. Some things we did with Jane, and then a little bit after we dropped her at school. But right before we were going to pick her up at the end of December, middle December, I guess, right, a week or so before Christmas, I was having some difficulty seeing, and I went to my local eye doctor, Dr. Ruffini, and he said, "Oh, you better go see your retina specialist." And I went and I saw him just 2 days before we were supposed to fly to London. And he noticed, he said, "You have a detached retina." And he said, I'd like to have surgery. I'd like to do surgery tomorrow morning. And I said, "Okay, will I be okay to fly to London the day after?" And he said, "No, I said, why not? And he said, well, you know, you'll be out of commission for, you know, 6 to 8 weeks, maybe a little bit longer, because what happens usually with a detached retina, you know, they slap whatever glue is to put it back together, and then they put this gas bubble in your eye to keep the pressure on the retina, and so the whatever the glue type substance is they use to put it back together keeps it in place. And because of that, and I didn't find this out until I actually was getting the medicine to, you know, kind of make me a little loopy, because anymore with eye surgery, they don't knock you out. You're awake for most of it. And I know I've talked about that in the past with everything I heard the doctor and the other folks in the operating room talking about while they're doing this, the most painful surgery I ever had. He said to me, you know, you're going to be, you have to stay in bed. You're on bed rest for 7 days. You have to stay in bed 22 hours a day, and you have to lay on your side. Now, I've heard since then, I've heard of some people that have to lay on their stomach, you know, basically face down. So they have to create almost like a, if you're familiar with massage beds, and I'm familiar with them not because I've had them, but because we sold them when we had Salon Supplies and Interiors. You know, basically there's a hole in the middle of the bed so you could breathe, so you can lay face down and it's comfortable. I don't know how you do that with your bed. I'm guessing you do it with pillows or whatnot, but fortunately I didn't have to do that. But laying in bed for all that time is not fun, I have to tell you. And, but that started, had a little bump in weight after I had that. What happened in 2009, I had gone to a doctor, my regular general practitioner, and she was on me for a while. Look, you're really heavy. You got to lose weight. I said, all right, well, how much should I lose? I finally got to the point where I was ready to do it, because she had been on me for a few years, and I weighed about 235 pounds. And I'm just short of 5'9". I'm 5'8¾", something like that. So we figured out what my weight should be, we figured out what my BMI was and what it needed to get to. And for anybody that knows a body mass index, you've got to be below 25. 25 is the top of the normal. And so anything over 25, you're obese, and over a certain number above that, you're morbidly obese. And I don't know if I got to that number. I don't remember what my top BMI was, but I was fat. I mean, you know, there is no two ways about it. I was fat. And as I call it now, I still call, you know, I have a picture that I took, you know, maybe a month or two before I started to lose the weight. I took a picture and I said, you know, I'll say to Liz, do you have that picture of Fat Dave? And, you know, a little weird referring to myself in the third person, but You know, that picture is known as Fat Dave, not P-H-A-T Dave, Fat Dave, F-A-T. and it basically looks like, you know, if you're like in a cartoon when, you know, they shove a hose in somebody's mouth and they fill them up with water, fill them up with air, and they, you know, it gets all puffy, and that's what I look like. So finally in December of 2009, you know, I went to the doctor. It was December 9th, and she said, you got to lose weight. And we sat there and she said, all right, I want you to lose 10% of your weight. And I said, okay, but what's the goal? What should my goal be? And I said, how many calories should I eat? And what should I eat? And she said, look, you eat whatever you want to eat. And we figured out the numbers that, you know, most days I need, you know, roughly 1800 calories a day, just for what I did, normal activity. And she said, you know, a safe amount of calories for you to eat and lose, so you lose weight, you know, take off 300 calories. So 1,500 calories a day, that's what I want you to eat. Eat whatever you want. And I soon found out that, you know, whatever I want isn't necessarily what keeps me full and keeps me happy. And so I basically changed everything that I ate. You know, I found out that eating a bunch of cauliflower and broccoli and either haricot vert, which are, you know, the skinny French green beans, or roasted carrots, or in the summer we would grill zucchini, which we absolutely love. And, you know, as I've mentioned also before, we're not allowed to grill here in the condo complex that we're in. So that is something that I miss. And we've tried grill pans, and it's just not the same as it was when we, you know, put it on the grill. But basically that was the majority of my meal. And then I'd have either, you know, a small protein, whether it's, you know, small chicken breast or shrimp or some sort of fish. Occasionally meat. I was never a big meat eater. So, you know, the lack of meat wasn't a big deal. What's really weird about me, I love hamburgers, and hamburgers were something that I would eat on occasion, but even just a regular size burger has so many more calories than the garden burger. And I'm not talking about the Beyond Meat kind that, you know, looks like it's, you know, like it's red inside when you take a bite. I loved, if you've ever seen the commercial, I think it was for a beer. It's a guy tailgating at a football game and he's throwing this thing onto the grill. And he said, "What's this, a loofah?" The garden burger, it looks like, I mean, it really does look like, you know, something you could, you know, use to exfoliate in the shower. And they are my favorite. I absolutely love those. But, you know, now all the restaurants, when restaurants were open for you to go and sit in, you know, have gotten rid of that and gone to either the Beyond Burgers or the Black Bean Burgers. And I forget the brand. And I like those Black Bean ones. I mean, they're pretty good, but they have more calories. And again, I love those garden burgers. So it wasn't hard for me to give up meat. You know, chicken I still eat on occasion. And again, chicken's not another thing that I really, really love. I mean, it's okay. And, you know, especially on the grill, again, on the grill, loved everything like that. You know, so now, you know, I would eat shrimp or, you know, we'd have small piece of salmon. And when I say small, you know, roughly 150 to 180 grams of salmon. And what I did to keep track of everything, because I found that it was difficult to lose weight and, you know, figure, oh, how many calories did I eat? And it was great. I bought a scale because a friend of mine had told me she was using a food scale, and I'll put a link to it. And I know I've linked to it in other episode show notes because I absolutely love this thing. And it's almost become a crutch now for me when I'm doing a sauce or, for example, every afternoon I have iced tea and I know that I love lemons. I love a lot of lemon in my iced tea. So I know I want to have somewhere between 110 and 120 grams of lemon in my iced tea. And it's, you know, 32 ounces of iced tea and then a bunch of ice. And, you know, I know that weight is not how you're supposed to measure liquids, but I figured out, okay, this is how much I need without getting out another, you know, measuring cup and thinking, oh, I like a quarter cup of lemon juice in my iced tea and having to squeeze that much lemon. I know that I want 120 grams. That's what tastes good. In some instances, I have figured out the measurements and it's hard with liquid because using weight, because cold water and hot water, even though they might be the same amount, weigh different amounts. I know normally 930 grams is roughly 32 ounces. You know, so I used the scale and not only did I use the scale, it came with this, like a spreadsheet where you could add up, you know, the calories. So, you know, I figured the day before, I figured, okay, you know, we're going to do this for dinner tomorrow night. What else can I eat throughout the day? And so by eating the 400 grams of cauliflower and 300 grams of broccoli and usually about 330 grams of haricot vert, if I have that, or an ear of corn on the cob, or 240 grams of roasted carrots. And again, I measure them before they're cooked. So I know, you know, because when you measure them after, you know, again, same thing, they might weigh a little more, a little less, depending. And so you have no idea what you're getting into. So I always like to weigh the raw, whatever it is, raw chicken, raw shrimp, raw whatever, because then I know, I look up the amount, you know, what the per gram rate is for shrimp, for example, and then I, you know, figured out that way. So I did that for many years, and I went from 235 down to about 155. And at that point, this is probably around 2011 or so. It took me about 9 months to get down to 155. So late 2010, maybe it was late 2010, I started back at the gym and we started to go to the gym a lot. And we went to the gym for probably 4 or 5 years. And Liz's schedule, as I've mentioned before, just got too crazy. And she would get home. Some nights she gets home 3 nights. Well, now we're obviously home all the time. But typically when she was working extended day, she worked 3 days of extended day in the afternoon from 3, whatever, when the school lets out, till about 6 o'clock, until the last kid is picked up who go into extended day. So sometimes she doesn't get home until 6:15, 6:20. So to eat dinner and then go to the gym, she's exhausted. She's been at school since, you know, she usually gets there a little after 7, again, when it's open and she's not teaching from home. So it just was out of the question. So we gave up the gym membership and stopped going. And on days when I went to the gym, instead of eating 1,500 calories, I would add, depending on what I did at the gym or what I was going to do at the gym, if I was doing weights and, you know, some cardio, I would maybe go to 2000 calories or 2100 calories. If I was just doing cardio, maybe I would do 1800 or 1900. Depending what we were going to do. And towards the end at the gym, it just got so difficult because Liz wasn't able to do and didn't want to do the weights. We basically just did, 4 or 5 miles on the track. And that was great. And we loved doing that. But like I said, we had to give that up. So once we stopped that, I slowly put on those. And when I was doing that at the peak, while we were going to the gym and I was watching everything very closely, I had gotten down to 145, which my BMI was probably around 20 at that point. I don't remember exactly. It might have even been below 20, but I don't remember. And so I was happy with that. I was, I felt great. And, and that was for a few years, in the middle of the, early teens, like 2013, 2014. And as soon as we stopped going to the gym, I then added those 10 pounds that I'd lost at the gym. I added those back. So I was around 155 again. And I stayed there for the next few years, again, until I had the surgery. And that kind of creeped up after that. My eating was a little off while I was laid up for the week. And then even though I was only in bed for all those hours each day for the week, I still couldn't do a lot. I wasn't allowed to do much. I couldn't do any kind of lifting. I couldn't do a lot of walking, for the next 6 or 8 weeks. I forget how long it was. It was quite a while. And it took my vision, I don't have a lot of vision, but, I couldn't do anything on my computer, for example, for the first probably 3 or 4 weeks. I just couldn't see it with special reading glasses, without. So I was basically using my phone. I just couldn't, I was watching a lot of TV because that was really the only thing that I could do. I tried to play chess because in the past when I had surgeries, I would play chess. And whatever site I was using, I think I used, there was one setup where instead of the actual images of the pieces, it actually said R for rook and Q for queen, K for king, and so forth. So I did that. It was basically, it looked like a bunch of discs with the letters on them. And I did that, and it was a little easier for me to manage. Now, for example, I use the actual images, and sometimes I still mess them up because the pawns and the bishops look very similar to me. So sometimes I'll make a move and it'll mess me up. And other times I just miss it again, because that I use my vision to do. But while I was, recovering from the retina surgery, I probably got to about 160, 162. And I was in that range for quite a while until 2019. And in 2019, I had, and once we moved, and I should point this out, once we moved in 2016 to over here where we live now in the condo apartment that we live in, I had stopped, and this wasn't, it didn't have to do with the move, but my computer at the time was so old, I was having difficulty, and I couldn't leave the spreadsheet open all the time because too many of anything being open, it would crash. I mean, it got to the point where I'd basically only be able to keep my web browser and my email client open. And so I couldn't leave the spreadsheet open. I couldn't leave Excel open. And so I stopped doing daily tracking and the food journal, which if you've ever tried to lose weight, to keep a food journal, and I love doing the spreadsheet, I just made things so much easier to figure, okay, oh, do I have any extra calories I could use to have those jelly beans today or whatever? It just makes it so much easier. And the scale that I had, like I said, came with an electronic version. It also came with a book you could write it down in, but you know, I had contacted the manufacturer, and I think it's a small company. The scale is called Eat Smart. And so the guy, after we were going back and forth, you know, he sent me this, you know, again, it was basically a spreadsheet. And, you know, so as I got heavier, and then in 2019, when I really started to get heavier, I noticed myself, for example, going into the kitchen, you know, to wash my hands or whatever, and I would see, you know, I don't know, the bag of pita chips on the counter. So I'd maybe after I washed my hands, you know, take a couple of pita chips. Well, if I washed my hands in the kitchen a couple times a day and I dipped my hand into the pita chips or the pretzels or the tortilla chips, whatever, you know, that started to, you know, that started to take, you know, a little bit. And that's probably how I went from, you know, it probably started when I, you know, had the retina surgery. As I was recovering, I would go in and, you know, I had to take a lot of drops, I remember. You know, so I probably went in, washed my hands, and then took the drops. And, you know, and then once I took the drops and threw the stuff out in the kitchen, you know, went over and grabbed the pita chips or the tortilla chips or whatever. Well, things got out of hand, I think, when I had a new medicine added for my psoriatic arthritis on top of the Otezla that I take, which I'm not 100% sure how well that's working at this point, but I'm happy that I'm on that and not still on. For a while, I was on Humira, which I would have been freaking out because Humira is one of those drugs that increase your chances of infection. So I just can't imagine with everything that's going on with coronavirus, having that and worrying about that. And I did feel good for a while, and I stopped the Humira a couple of weeks before I had the retina surgery, and I never went back to it. In fact, Liz told me the other day, she said, do you think we need to save this this Humira? There's one in the back of our fridge because you have to keep it refrigerated. I said, I think we can get rid of it, but I don't know, and I think it's been sitting back there because Humira is a needle. It's like, well, it's kind of, I don't know if it's exactly like an EpiPen is, but it's basically, you know, you put it on your skin, you know, I always did them in the thighs. You know, you push a button and it's like, you know, it has like a plunger. It you know, pushes a spring, it pushes it down, puts it in, and then, you know, draws the needle back up. And then I have a sharps container actually here in my office that I would then throw the needle in. So I'm guessing if I open it, I've got to throw it in that and be, you know, do that. And it's not something that you should throw in the regular trash, I'm guessing. But so you know, the Otezla wasn't cutting it. And my rheumatologist said, well, you know, you're swollen here, here, here. And today, let me tell you, it was brutal today. And I'll get into that in a minute. But I started to take this other medicine called, I think it's called Etidolic. And it's a anti-inflammatory that I actually just had it increased last summer. I started taking it. I'm sorry, I had it increased this summer. I started it last summer, and you have to take it with food. So what was happening, we didn't have, you know, in the morning it wasn't a big deal. I'd eat breakfast and then take it. But what would happen, because I was eating breakfast at, let's say, 9 or 10 o'clock, you know, you have to take it 12 hours later. So I wasn't taking it at dinner time. I was taking it even after I had my nightly ritual of berries you know, and I'll get into that with the weight stuff in a few minutes. So I had to eat something else. And I would sometimes, I love these, if you've got a Trader Joe's near you, we end up trying a lot of stuff from there because at Liz's class, in Liz's classroom, when parents bring snack, they bring, you know, a lot of stuff comes from Trader Joe's. So sometimes if something comes in and Liz looks at it, oh, that looks good. I'll take some home for David and I'll try it. And sometimes I'll like it. Sometimes I won't, but they have these peanut butter filled pretzels, which we've had other brands, in the Mid-Atlantic region. Hers is a very big brand, based not too far from me, probably 15, 20 miles. And you can go to the factory. If you're nearby in the Philly area, you should really go check it out. Cause it's very cool to go to the factory and they show you how they make the cheese curls and you eat warm potato chips as they come off the line. And I went with Jane's class back when she was in preschool. So, you know, it wasn't yesterday. But it was a very cool place to go and check out and a good afternoon. And the kids liked it and the adults liked it. And again, you get to eat stuff. So what's to be wrong with that? So I was finding that I kept eating these pretzels and I never knew how many to eat. I figured, geez, could I eat just, you know, three or four of them? How much is enough? And I still don't know how much I should eat. But what I quickly realized that I started getting heavier because I was eating my normal, you know, anywhere from 1500 to 1800 calories, actually probably 1800, maybe a little bit more, because I had stopped documenting what I was eating. And I thought, you know what, I've got to fix this. I had gotten up about late January, early February, I was 173. That was just too much. I was okay. I wasn't happy with being in the low to mid 160s. I would have rather been in mid 150s, but 173 was too high. And I could just see it was trending, you know, since like May or April of last year was trending higher. And had I kept going, it just would have kept going up. So I thought, you know, what am I going to do? I've got to get back on track and get back to where I was, you know, at or below 160. And back in 2009, when I was talking to my doctor at the time, my general practitioner, she said, you know, 160 to 165 should be your target. And I said, okay, I'll do that. And she said, well, just start with 10% back then. And I said, no, you told me 160, I'm going to get there. And so basically what I did, I just watched everything I ate. And anytime I ate something, whether it was a couple of almonds or walnuts or pita chips, I would document. So if I ate 6 grams of walnuts, and they're very caloric, of course, you know, roughly just under 6.5 calories per gram, you know, I'd write it down. And there are some days, you know, they have four categories: breakfast, lunch, dinner, and snacks. Well, snacks, I put down not only my nightly snacks, which I mentioned berries, but I also put down if I eat those walnuts, if I eat after lunch, sometimes I will eat little pretzel nuggets, not, you know, the hard ones like from Snyder's or Hers or any of the other brands, but Snyder's I prefer. You know, I write those down. Today, for example, I had an omelet with two jumbo eggs. They're each 90. And then I ate 11 pretzel nuggets, which were whatever that is. They're 7.5 calories per gram. So I think they were 88 calories or something. So I got back again, late January, early February. It was 173 and change. I started writing everything down again. I started going back to 1500 calories a day, not as strictly as I did when I lost all the weight back in 2009 and 2010. If I went way over 1500 at that time, like if I went to 1600, I would have kicked myself. I would have been so mad at myself for doing it. Now I'm getting in the ballpark. You know, today I think I had 1700 calories and I slowly have been losing the weight. And again, I don't remember the exact date that I started, and I probably should have looked, that up before I started recording this. But I went from 173, and this morning when I got on the scale, I was 164.7. I've been as low as 163.9. And it's also interesting because I do weigh myself every day. It's interesting to see what I eat and how it corresponds with my weight the next day. For example, if I eat broccoli, cauliflower, and haricot vert, I will be up the next day from the day before, because of the salt that I put on there or the hot sauce. And I still have that story about hot sauce coming. But from the fiber, from the dense fiber, in it. And, I will notice also if I have, and I love broccoli, cauliflower, and haricot vert. They are my favorites. Other than having grilled zucchini, which again, we went through that and it saddens me that I can't have it here. You know, I will be up and I will stay at that. I won't be up if I have it 3 days in a row. I won't be up each day. I'll stay at that same level until I go, like if we go out to eat and we go get something, like, you know, go to Panera or whatever. And I like, they have this grain bowl there that I like. I think it's called a Southwest grain bowl, which I absolutely love. It has 600 or 700 calories and it's so good. You know, it's, you know, or even if I have a burrito from like, California tortilla, or Chipotle, and Chipotle is something that we drove past both Chipotle and Panera today. And I miss both of them and we haven't had them in probably a couple of months. I love not necessarily the burrito from Chipotle, which I do love, has about 600 calories as I get it. I love the corn salsa. And usually when we're not, you know, in a quarantine type of situation, I will have salad for lunch. And my salad ranges between 350 and 450 calories, depending on what I put on it. What I love to put on it, and it comes closer to 450, is the corn salsa from California Tortilla, which I absolutely love that. And so a lot of times we'll pick up Jacob from work at Target, not recently again, but you know, he'll need something for dinner. We will automatically get him a burrito because he loves burritos as well. And we will get corn salsa on the side. So that means the next day I can have the corn salsa on my salad. So I have noticed that, you know, as of the last, you know, 6 or 8 weeks or 10 weeks, however long I've been doing this, I've been writing everything down. I have been snacking a little bit less because I noticed that, okay, hey, I had 4 pretzel nuggets here and then I had, you know, 6 here. And, you know, I'm like, oh, I'm way over today. So I've got to watch. You know, today was a day where Jacob worked at Target in Springfield. Well, we needed Brita water pitcher filters for both. We have a pitcher that sits on the counter, and then we have a big thing that sits in the fridge. And we were, you know, both of them needed changing, and they've needed changing for a while. But Jacob's store doesn't carry them or didn't have them in stock or whatever. So we went out to the one that was near Maris Grove, where my mom was. And so I basically sat in the car. But as I was sitting in the car waiting for Liz, we, you know, there were jelly beans in the car and I ate 4 jumbo jelly beans. Each jelly bean had 22 calories. So, you know, it pushed me a little above what I normally like to do. You know, so I'm kind of surprised at, I don't want to say how easy it is to lose the weight because I know a lot of people will hate me for that. But you just have to stick with it. You know, kind of like plants. I was thinking about this the other day. You know, I don't really do too much to our plants. I try to water them every Friday. Now, with everything going on and everybody being home, my schedule has been off. You know, I used to wake up at 8 o'clock every day. When all this lockdown quarantine stuff started, you know, I thought, I don't need to get up at that hour. You know, if Jacob needs to go into work at 9 o'clock, I don't want to get in his way and interfere with him getting into the bathroom and showering and so forth and so on. So I don't rush to get up. And in fact, today I'm recording this. It's, you know, I don't know, 11:30 at night, on Wednesday, the 8th of April. I wanted to record it while he was at work from 1 to 6 today. Well, after we dropped him, like I said, we ran out to Glen Mills to get the stuff at Target that Liz had ordered in advance, you know, the filters, and then she had a couple other things to get in the store. And I'm trying to get her to stop going to a store each day. Tomorrow she needs milk, so she has to go to the milk store, which is right across the street from us. But again, it's still something she has to interact with someone. Money has to exchange hands and so forth. So, you know, it makes me a little bit nervous that she keeps having to do that. And of course, like I mentioned in previous episodes, you know, Jacob is going in every day to Target, or at least 6 days over the last 7 he's been there. So, you know, it makes us nervous, and I don't want Liz to be doing the same thing. You know, Easter's coming up and she wants to have, we're going to have Easter dinner here, but you know, there's some things we need. And so she's going to BJ's on Friday, and I know she's going to Gentili's, which is our farm store, our produce store, farmer's market, on Saturday, which she usually goes on Sunday. She's not going to a supermarket because, you know, I hope that she has, well, at least I hope she's not going to the supermarket. She may have to because she may need something, you know, but as we run out of stuff, I stopped eating the salads because a bag of salad would only last 3 days. And we found that even buying 2 bags to go 6 days, by that sixth day, the one bag, you know, it's starting to go bad. It's slimy. So that's why I've been eating eggs for lunch every day. And I'll put on the show notes page, I'll put a copy of the spreadsheet that I use from, you know, I've modified it a little bit from Eat Smart. You know, it's just a great tracker. And again, I could use it if I really wanted to, and I'm out and about, I could see how many calories I had left for the day. Cause, I basically keep one, spreadsheet per month. And then I just add a new sheet. Like, you know, for today I have, you know, it's the sheet is listed 8th of April, 2020. Before I go to bed tonight, I'll make for the 9th and I'll, you know, kind of change it with what we're going to have. And again, usually most nights I eat broccoli, cauliflower, another veg, and, you know, then a protein. The last couple of nights to make room in our fridge or in our freezer, which is very tiny. I've been eating, I love edamame, and we bought a big package by big. It has like 9, single serving bags, and each bag has 159 calories. So it's a nice protein. You know, you pop the bag into the microwave for 3 minutes, boom, it comes out. You know, I put salt on it, and today I put paprika. Most days I put cayenne pepper, salt and cayenne pepper, which I absolutely love. It tastes so good. If I do have limes, I'll also squeeze, you know, lime juice on it. It is it's so good. But I've been eating the edamame as opposed to any other proteins like shrimp, which we usually have a bag. And I usually eat, not again, with the shrimp I eat, you know, it's usually less than 100 calories worth, but it gives me each shrimp as, I don't remember how many, but it's a decent chunk of protein. The extra large eggs, which I usually eat, they have 7 grams of protein. You know, the broccoli and cauliflower combined have about 15 grams of, I might be wrong on that. Actually, I think that has 25 grams of protein. Could be wrong. I don't remember. It's been a while since I checked it. You know, everybody kept saying you're eating too much veg and you're not getting enough protein. So I tracked that for a while. And I know the broccoli and cauliflower had a decent amount of protein. You know, so I was okay with that. But I mentioned hot sauce and I'll put a link and I'll show you a picture of, a couple of months ago, we were in our local supermarket. It was an Acme Market, and by the seafood section, they had this Old Bay hot sauce, and it came out, I think it came out in February or late January. So we bought a bottle of it and I absolutely loved it. I opened it up a day or two later. And it lasted only 4 days. You know, I would use it when I made shrimp, and basically shrimp, I would cover them in this hot sauce, this Old Bay hot sauce, and put them in the oven, roast them in the oven, you know, for five and a half minutes, depending on the size. And I love them. And then I always use a dipping sauce for the cauliflower. There's a few that I like, you know, sriracha is one. I use regular hot sauce. Sometimes there's a sauce, it's called, oh, I can't remember. My friend Alex got it for me. It's absolutely delicious, but it's pretty pricey. So I only use that on, I don't want to say special occasions, but you know, after taking a break from some of the other things. But I had this Old Bay hot sauce and I loved it. And I noticed this back when I started to lose the weight, you know, back in 2009, 2010, that depending on what I ate, I noticed how different my body felt the next day. For example, when I ate a lot of pasta, I felt pretty crappy the next day. And by crappy, I mean my joints really hurt. You know, it was hard to move and it just was, you know, everything was a chore. I would drop things a lot. You know, I've told you that, you know, there are some days where I have very little feeling in my hands, and I guess that's better than having the pain. Like today I had such pain in my left hand. It was just brutal. You know, I try to run hot water on it for a long time, you know, in the shower, when I'm washing my hands, whatever. And it didn't help. Well, over the last week, I have just been so incredibly uncomfortable with pain in my hands, in my left knee, in my feet. And I was so sad because not only did I ache, but I thought, oh my God, it's this Old Bay hot sauce. And I thought of this because Jane had gone to the doctor. She noticed years ago, I think she was in either middle school or high school. She loves Old Bay seasoning. And she noticed whenever she had it on like crabs, her mouth would tingle and break out a little bit, or she'd get a rash on her hands from where she was touching it. And so I started to worry that, you know, I was having so much of this hot sauce that that's what was causing the pain. And yesterday, so I thought, you know what, I'm going to take a couple days off from the Old Bay hot sauce and see what happens. Well, yesterday I woke up and I felt comparatively great. I still ached, and every day I ache. It's just a matter of how much do I ache. But today I woke up and I felt horrible. I couldn't move the middle finger to my pinky on my left hand without excruciating pain. I couldn't hold the soap in the shower. I couldn't hold a spatula or, when I was making my lunch, I made a 2-egg omelet with these jumbo eggs. While I was spraying the Pam onto the pan, I couldn't hold it. It hurt so much. I couldn't hold it. And I thought, you know, today when I was in the shower and the warm water wasn't taking away the pain, you know, I thought, hey, wait a minute. It's been 2 days since I've had that Old Bay hot sauce. So it's not necessarily the hot sauce. Maybe it's the weather. We had bad storms last night come through. And as much pain as I was in, I know I was smiling while I was in the shower because I thought, hey, it's not the Old Bay hot sauce because I haven't had it for 2 days. It's hard to tell what it is. And, you know, sometimes there are a couple of competing reasons, you know, between weather and food intake. But like I said, as I started to lose the weight and started to eat more healthy with the broccoli and the cauliflower and whatnot, I noticed that my body felt better. My skin cleared up a little bit, you know, because I still do have some little bit of psoriasis. It's not nearly as bad as it was, you know, before I started taking the Otezla. And it's never been super horrible. Like some people have it very bad. And it's so sad because it's, you know, that's uncomfortable. But most of all, it's uncomfortable, especially, you know, in the summer when people are looking at you going into a pool, wondering if you're if you're contagious or if things are going to fall off and why your skin looks so horrible. Why don't you do something about it? Because I did get that, even though mine was never... You know, I probably only had it moderately on my skin. I don't think I ever had it worse than moderate. But I did have patches on my back, on my forearms, and you know. But I did notice when I started eating better, even the little bit that I had, you know. And this was before I was on Otezla. I noticed that, you know, it started to clear up a bit, You know, I know now that when I eat pasta, I know it's, you know, I'm not going to feel great the next day. So I also have noticed that when I have turmeric, you know, which I put in my omelet, as well as cayenne pepper and a couple other things, paprika and cumin, I notice that when I have especially fresh turmeric, I know I feel a lot better the next day and even a few hours after. In my morning, I've noticed that ginger, I use fresh ginger in my steel cut oatmeal, which, you know, I have each morning, during the week. On the weekends, I tend to not have breakfast, and those are, I don't want to call them cheat days, but those are days that I eat lunch and I eat dinner. And then if we're having either, we'll get a treat, whether it's ice cream or some sort of pastry, you know, that's when I'll have it. I'll have it on the weekends, or I'll just be able to go out and have something that may be a little calorie heavy, that I can't eat during the week because, you know, maybe it has 1200 calories in it. And, and during the week, I've already had, you know, breakfast and lunch. So like I said, I'm down to the, 164 from 173, and that's in about, I think it's been about 8 weeks. I don't remember exactly when I started. I don't want to say it's easy, but if you follow along, I think you can do it because I think you can do it because I did it. And, you know, I know this isn't a vision thing. But I have relied more on the scale, and there's sometimes I read the scale wrong because my scale is not a talking scale. And I do weigh everything, like I said. Even when I fill up a tea kettle with water before I put it on for tea, I know that I want around 1,200 grams in there because I know some's going to get, you know, evaporated when it turns to steam and whatnot. So I know that 1,200 will fill my 24-ounce mug. And that's another thing. I have tea at every meal. Well, maybe not dinner other than the iced tea, but I have at breakfast time, I have tea. And lately it's been a green tea that has pomegranate and raspberry and strawberry, which I like. It's not as good as the one I used to get from Teavana, which they had, they had discontinued the one that was my favorite and also made me feel great. And again, it was the ingredients in there I noticed after I had stopped using that I didn't feel as good and my body hurt more. And it was called Queen of Babylon, and it had some cherries and pomegranates and a couple other things in there. It tasted great. And like I said, it made me feel good. When they discontinued that, I went to Youthberry, and you can still get Youthberry in tea bags, but it's pretty pricey. And, you know, I used to get all the tea I used to get was loose from Teavana, and I loved it. And, you know, I put 6 or 10 grams. Jane had, or actually, I guess when Liz and I were up visiting Jane, we went to T2 in New York. And tried this one called, I think it was called Rosa Frambrosia or something like that. Of course, it's either been discontinued or was a limited edition thing. But I love that. But it, again, very expensive. I'd use about 6 grams a day. And again, it tasted great, made me feel good. And I noticed after a few days of not having that, I started to ache a little bit. So I had to try and play around with some other things to make me, you know, feel a little better. But I know as far as weight loss goes, you know, especially now, I saw some things going around, you know, I'm trying to keep my social distance from my refrigerator and stuff like that. I know it's hard for a lot of people because a lot of people are not used to being at home all day, you know, to not walk into the kitchen and just grab a little something. And again, I know what that is. I know what that's like because that's what I would do. I would walk into the kitchen and say, oh yeah, a little, you know, a couple of pita chips or a couple of tortilla chips or couple of pretzel nuggets, you know, and if I did that 2 or 3 times a day, maybe I had a serving, which is, you know, roughly about 120, 140 calories, you know, that I wasn't taking into consideration. And I just realized today I had a piece of matzah today because it's the first day of Passover. Not that I'm religious or anything, but Liz had a coupon for, I don't remember how many boxes of matzah we have, but I thought, oh, I'm going to have some matzah on the first day of Passover. And after I ate it, Jacob was walking by the box. I asked him to take a look and see how many calories it had. And it was 120. I was mad that I ate it, but I mean, it tasted good, but I was mad. So I know that you can do it. Just keep the journal. I'll put a blank journal on and, you know, and again, you could go through and you can add all sorts of different things and maybe you can get it right from Eat Smart. I don't know if they have a website, but I love the scale. I'll have a link to that. And again, any links on my pages, consider them affiliate links. And we do make a little something. And I have to tell you, Liz has been about at least a month without her chai tea lattes from Starbucks. And I think she's missing them. She was also wondering if she's ever going to go back to them because of the whole germ thing. And you know, she doesn't want to touch something that somebody else has touched and what's she going to bring in. And so I think the virus has changed a lot of us in a lot of ways, but hopefully we'll be able to get through it. And I hope you're well. And I really do appreciate listening. If you would reach out, you can give a call, leave a comment at 646-926-6350. Tell me what you think of the show. Tell me some ideas you like for me to talk about on the show. I probably will start adding more interviews only because if I'm stuck in the house all day, there's not really a lot going on. So what better than to talk to someone else and talk about what they do? I talked with Max Ivey last week, and I'm going to be on his podcast coming up, and he's a good one to have. He's, you know, he's quite a guy, and I met him at PodFest. He actually roomed with me at PodFest, and it was pretty nice to have someone, and you know, someone who got me and understood how things were, you know, as I've mentioned before, a lot of people who have sight don't get, you know, hey, that's right over there. Just go over there and pick one up or whatever. Max knew, you know, about it, just like all my other blind friends know. If you do want to email, you don't want to give a call, have a question or a comment, you can email me at icantseeyoupodcast@gmail.com, icantcupodcast@gmail.com. Remember, I can't see you is a whole sentence. But for my podcast and website, it's only 7 letters, I-C-A-N-T-C-U. And again, available on Amazon and Google devices if you want to listen there. And I really do appreciate you listening to episode 69 of the I Can't See You podcast. My name is David, at David Benj on all the socials. Be well and stay safe. And thanks again for listening. And I'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to the I Can't See You podcast. Follow David on Twitter. He is at David Benj.